All right, turn to Matthew chapter 6, and I want to start in verse 14. Matthew 6, verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, what does that mean to you?
If you forgive, you'll be forgiven.
But what happens if you don't forgive?
You won't be forgiven.
Now, how many has ever heard that?
Yeah.
Yep.
So you know, you go to church and you think your forgiveness is based upon whether you're forgiving others. And you know, the point that I want to make is that, you know, if you thought about this process in your mind, just get all the religion out of the way for just a minute and just thought of the statement. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Will also what?
Forgive
you. Well, look, if you will, in Colossians and compare this for just a minute.
That goes along with, you know, turn your cheek and all that.
Absolutely. Colossians chapter 2. How do you reconcile that verse? And you may want, by the way, write Colossians chapter 2 in Matthew. And I would definitely write Matthew 6, 14 and 15 in Colossians. Look in verse 13 now. Watch this. How do you reconcile that? You got to ask somebody when you're sitting down with them. How is it that is it based upon you forgiving men their trespasses against you? Or is it, verse 13 and 14 here, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you what?
All.
Whether you forgive or not.
Right.
It's gone. See, when you start to rightly divide, and the process of right division, and you're trying to find, okay, here's Matthew, here's the cross, first part of the book of Acts, and over here, forgiveness is based upon what? Your forgiveness on others. It's an if. If you confess, if you forgive, if that kind of thing. You see what I'm saying? Over here under Paul's teaching, you have half forgiven you. Meaning it's already been done. The point is that is really what rightly dividing is over. You can't obey both of those doctrines at the exact same time. You understand? That's impossible. You can't believe it's based upon you forgiving somebody their sins and your Heavenly Father will eventually forgive you of your sins at the same time you're believing that your sins have already been forgiven. Y'all understand? Those doctrinal mixes don't work. And so when you're rightly dividing the Scriptures, you're not trying to bring about disunity. You're trying to find out the doctrine for you. That's what we're working on. We're working on the doctrine for you. What is it that you should do? At the same comparison, I want to go the other way. Go to 1 John and look at that statement again. Now watch. Again, rightly dividing the word of truth. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Now, in Matthew, we had to forgive other men's sin, right? Well, here, and notice that the emphasis in both Matthew and 1 John is upon the person. Colossians chapter 2 is not based upon you, it's based upon who? Christ. That's right. Watch this, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we confess our sins. Well, what happens if we don't confess our sins? Did that ever bother y'all? You know, just that statement alone would break. I mean, if you heard that term, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, you got to start wondering, did I confess all my sins?
Amen.
I mean, that starts to get into, and you know what that brings about? That brings about doubt on your salvation. There's no way you can't doubt your salvation with that statement. How do you find security in that? Well, did I confess them? I love Wayne's testimony. Many nights he said, did I get all my sins confessed? Worried. He said, I've been a big man. You know, I'm thinking, might have a heart attack. Did I get them all done? Right. And that worry and that doubt is the seed of not salvation and trust. It's the seed of confusion. But it wouldn't have been for an Israelite, but it is for you. Why? Christ paid it all. What would be the verse you want to play back there? Again, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. So you want to write that in your Bible. What am I trying to tell you? That if you go outside of Paul's epistles and you get over there in Hebrews through Revelation, guess what? Again, this doctrine lines up with what? This doctrine. This doctrine is entirely different. That is what we mean by rightly dividing the word of truth. Who's your apostle?
Paul.
How do you know? Okay, I think a little more specific. Romans 11, 13, that's good. Romans 15, verse 16. 1 Timothy 1, 7. 2 Timothy 1, 11. All those give us that Paul's our apostle. So if there are things that are different in the Bible, where are we going to go for the final authority to us, the Gentiles?
Romans through Philemon.
Romans through Philemon. You all understand? That's the final authority for us. If there's something different. Are there things that are the same?
Yes.
Yeah. You won't need to change those. Why? They're constant. Here's one of them. God is just. Is God just in Malachi?
Yes.
Is God just in Romans through Philemon?
Yes.
Yeah. But when it comes to the doctrine of forgiveness, it is not the same. You see? And that's the problem. And so what happens to churches? They mix it all up. So some people are going, well, do I confess my sins? How many here has had a doubt whether they should confess their sins or not?
Amen.
Almost everybody here. You guys on the internet, probably the same way. I was pretty excited. Gary Simpson and your group are going to try to start a church there. And we started with the internet Bible study. And he wrote me an email saying, I'm going to miss the internet Bible study. But hey, praise God, if we can bring about another church, it'd be great. One, boy, is this truth important? What happens if you're stuck in 1 John 1:9 and you think it's all about you and you do go to bed and you're not sure you got them all confessed up? That's not going to give you a very good night worth of sleep, for sure. Who said that? Robert, yeah, give you indigestion. That's probably true. Go back to Matthew for a minute. So rightly dividing isn't about, listen to me, it isn't about just dividing up Scripture. It is literally about trying to find out what is the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. And everybody wants to do something. For example, look in verse 19. See if I need to come up there. Yeah, I think 19 would be fine. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. Now, what is he talking about?
We don't have a savings.
Matthew 6, where we were. I'm just coming straight back. Where we started. Matthew 6. Verse 19, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. Now, you know, Stan Coutts had pretty much done that. You know what I mean? But the rest of us probably.
Now, wait a minute. Stan's got a washer and a dryer and a
microwave and a coffee pot.
You know, it's not all about money. It's about things. You know, you take Stan's coffee pot, you might as well shoot him.
All right. Come on in. You got a whole row up here for yourself. Who's that good looking guy? He's a good looking kid. If I'd had kids that good looking, I'd have had about 5 or 10 maybe. But mine were so ugly, I just stopped at 3. And we told them they were pretty, pretty ugly, pretty apt to stay that way. All right, anyway, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. Well, how many here has got money in the bank? It said, lay not up for yourselves. $20 doesn't count. Y'all understand the realization is that all you got to consider is it said, lay not treasures upon the earth. But look what Paul says. Which one do you do? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look what the Apostle Paul says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where I turn to, there it is. Look, if you will.
Sir.
In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 14. Now watch. He said, behold, the third time I'm ready to come unto you, I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. But the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the what? Well, hold it. Jesus said not to lay up anything upon the earth. Amen? And now Paul's telling you how to lay up for your children. I'm having a hard time with that. Which one is it? You see, I mean, if you thought, okay, you know, we wore these bracelets, what would Jesus do? Well, what would he do?
He would lay up treasures.
What?
He would lay up treasures not on the earth, but in heaven.
That's right. He would not lay up treasures upon the earth. Yet, Paul, your apostle, says what?
We
should lay up for our children. So there in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 14, you want to put what? Matthew chapter 6, 19. Matthew 6, 19. So why? Over here, do not lay up. Right? This one says.
But the audience was different.
The audience was different. The people he's speaking to different. And by the way, who is your apostle?
Paul.
How do you know? Romans 11:13. Try this. Romans 11:13. Everybody. Romans 11:13. Come on, help me out. Romans 11:13. Romans 15:16. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 11. How do we know Paul's our apostle?
The Bible says.
Bible said it. You're going to get this down. Why? Why? What should we do? We should lay up for our children. Now, I've laid up a bunch of debt for my kids, so I want you to know I've done my part. I'm figuring I'm taking it all, and I'll give them a little bit at the end.
That ain't what Paul meant.
How many kids does Paul have?
He had none. But he was telling you that if you had kids to lay up. I'm trying to figure out how to spend it all right up to the last minute. Yeah, there you go. You know, I did hear something good on inheritance the other day on Christian radio. How many of y'all, just out of curiosity, this has nothing really to do with the sermon. How many of y'all think you ought to leave everything to your children? Raise your hand. That's interesting. I don't believe you ought to leave it all to your kids. I believe you ought to leave a little to the Lord. I do. When you die, I think it's important. I think you ought to give to charities of choices as well. But how he described what to give to your kids was very interesting. And this is what he said. What would make them come closer to the Lord? You know, some kids get $1 million in inheritance and they blow it and become drug addicts and, you know, it doesn't help them. You understand what I'm saying? And then on the other, they don't get anything and they realize they have to work for theirs too. You know, and it all works. But the question that you ought to ask yourself, will it bring them closer to the Lord, yes or no? If what I leave them will bring them closer to the Lord, then that's the right amount. I thought it was fascinating. Well, how do you all feel about that? That's kind of interesting, isn't it? All right, so in one point you lay up. The other one, do what? Not lay up. You can't do both. You're either obedient to one verse and disobedient to the other, or obedient to the one and disobedient to the other. You're not doing both at the same time. And thus lies the problem. Go to 2 Timothy. Oh, we've got to get further back than that. We've got a nursery if you'll feel comfortable in there. Okay. Yes, Dad knows what he's doing. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Why? You know, somebody who's studying is going to notice that, hey, one says lay up, the other one says not to lay up. And you know what a student's going to do?
He's going to study.
He's going to say, why did it do that? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why?
Rightly dividing.
Well, he's rightly dividing, but why would he not be ashamed? Because he's found the truth out. The doctrine. He's laid the doctrine out in the Word of God so that you can absolutely understand it. Go back to Matthew. Go to Matthew, back to Matthew 6, I believe it is. I got to go one more. Sorry about that. Now, look, if you will, in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, or yet for your body's sake, what ye shall put on, for life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. And he says, behold the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather unto barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. How much are ye not much better than they? Now, he's saying the birds don't work. What is he telling you to do? Not to work. How many years got a job? Uh-oh. You don't believe the Bible. You see what I'm saying? I mean, the doctrine is not to work. put work off. Now, being a pastor, I've just about conquered it. Pastors never work. They say, boy, if I could be a pastor, I'd have a good job. Come and be a pastor with me for a little while. They neither work nor... What do you think about that? Should you work according to this?
No.
Not according to that. Well, how come people that read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John still have a job? They don't believe the Bible means what it says. So what are we here? Bible-believing saints of Almighty God. We're going to believe the Bible. Well, come on. Either go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Yes, you do. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let me show you, you're an apostle. You can't do both at the same time. You're either being obedient to one or disobedient to the other. You can't do both doctrine. And so why you rightly divide is to say, what is it that God wants for me to do? What does God want me to do? Well, this is what he says. Verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he what? Well, that's in direct conflict to Matthew chapter 6, really 24 all the way down to 27. Direct conflict. How can you do one or the other? You can only do one or the other. So which one are you going to do? Does he need a restroom or anything?
You do the one that speaks to the Gentile, not the Jew.
That's right. Why? Who's your apostle?
Paul.
How do you know? Romans 11:13. Everybody, say it out loud. Romans 11:13. Romans 15:16. 1 Timothy 2:7. 2 Timothy 1:11. How do we know? The Bible tells us so in those four verses. So what are we supposed to do? If we don't work,
we don't eat.
That's a pretty good policy. But in Jesus' day, what were they supposed to do?
Not work.
Not work.
And they still got to eat.
And they did still eat. Why? I like the way it says it in Luke. Look in Luke. Luke is the same passage, Luke chapter 12. And look there how he words it. It's a little clearer, I think, here. Uh-huh. Luke 12:24. Here's another one, just like Matthew 6, verse 24. Here's Luke 12:24. He said, consider the raven, for they neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouses or barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowl? That's pretty clear, isn't it? Folks, listen, people didn't have to work in Jesus' day.
Had everything in common.
They had all things in common. Why? They sold their possessions, and they parted to men as every man had need. Now, see, the point that I'm trying to get you to see is that you can either do 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, or you can do Luke chapter 12, verse 24, Matthew. But you can't do them both at the same time. It's impossible. Y'all understand? It's absolutely impossible. So people that are going to churches today that are teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, why aren't they obedient to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
You know, Thessalonians and Mike must have problem in that area, because also in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, he said basically the same thing.
Yeah. They did. And you got to remember that Thessalonica was part of the Jewish thing. So they were doing Jewish things. And, you know, guys, listen to me. Paul was trying to tell them that ain't going to work in this dispensation. You've got to straighten it out. Luke chapter 12 is so clear that, and you know what? People don't get why they sold out. Look what he said. Come on down in the passage. Verse 25. And which of you taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? And if in... You're listening from North Carolina. I appreciate you tuning in there from North Carolina. And Lydia North is up there with them, so that's good. We got a few people watching there. Twenty-six is where I was. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies. How they grow, they toil not. What is toiling?
Working.
They spend not, yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is in the day in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Did God promise them that he was going to take care of them?
Yes.
Yes, he did.
How often we quote that ye of little faith, and it's so out of context.
Oh, my goodness. It is true. So he comes on down, and he says, verse 33, sell that you have and give alms. Why? Hey, they didn't have to worry. They were going to sell out everything they had and bring it collectively before the who? The apostles. And then division was made amongst them. And they did that in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. You with me? Now, why would they have done that? Yeah, they thought they were going through the tribulation period. Remember that rightly dividing has to do with doctrine and also the practical sense of doctrine. The reason they sold out, how many here have tried to hear sermons? I know you guys have heard. How many of you all have heard sermons on this kind of thing about not being attached to your money? It's just a spiritual thing in your heart. It isn't. It has nothing to do with that. You know, it's like that, oh, ye little faith. I mean, it had nothing to do with that.
Covetousness
could cost them their life. It did cost Ananias and Sapphira their lives in Acts chapter 5. The point that I'm making is that you have this demonstration in the Word of God of laying out doctrines very clear. Does anybody have any problem with sell all that ye have? What does that mean to you? I mean, people say, well, the King James Bible is hard to understand. Let's try that. Sell all that ye have.
You mean everything?
Let me try it again. I don't understand the King James Bible. It's in that English. Sounds like Southern to me. Sell all that ye have. You know what I mean? It's not hard to understand. It's hard to do. Not hard to understand. Say, there is none good. No, not one. I'm thinking of Bronx back there. She's my English teacher. She's probably going, Barry, you are nuts. You know, I mean, how simple can it be? The only way that can be more simple is they put the word ain't in. They ain't none good. That would make more sense to us, maybe. You know, it's not hard to understand. It's hard to do. So what do? We get a degree in theology. And you come out and he says, well, but God didn't really mean that. What he meant was that you don't want to have your heart with your money. And we suck into that like, well, he's the professor. He's so bright.
I even have a collection now.
You what?
I have a collection now.
Oh, yeah.
Get on me, brother.
Amen. Let's collect it up. Come on, guys. Do you all understand what I'm telling you?
Yeah.
That it's not hard to understand. You can't do that. No, I mean, come on, guys. This is serious stuff. You guys are having way too much fun at church. I mean, they make it complicated. Sell all that ye have. And the only one example of a person that sold all that they had but didn't give it all, they came into judgment in Acts chapter 5. It wasn't a joke. It wasn't like, ha, 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 he kept some of it back. It was like, oh, 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 he died. Y'all understand? But Paul says, if you don't work, you don't eat. So, by Luke chapter 12, verse 30, well, all the way from 24 to 33, you're going to put what? 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. Why? You got to have that comparison. Otherwise, you might be deceived in doing what? Selling out. You with me? You're not with me, are you?
That he said the Gentile nations were looking after those things.
Yeah, isn't that fascinating? And he says, how much better will your Heavenly Father feed you?
And he said he would feed us, and that's how he's going to feed them.
Yep, absolutely. All right, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 7, y'all there? Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Is that right?
No.
No, I mean, is that right in the Scripture?
Yeah.
Now, I've been told, listen, guys, you know, if you ask it in the Lord's name, he'll give it. In fact, he says it in John 14. Look in John 14 for a minute. Same kind of passage. Verse 13. Am I boring you guys this morning? It's just simple stuff, but you got to get it down. Now watch this, John 14, verse 13. Well, I'm going to do 12. Is that okay? I like to ask before I do, because you guys can turn on me like that. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now watch. Here it is, verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That's now, back to the King James issue. If you ask anything in my name, that will I do. Hard to understand?
No.
Pretty simple, right? I ain't fooling you. Easy. Has anybody ever asked anything in Jesus' name and he didn't do it? Raise your hand if that's happened.
Yeah.
It's true. then there's only two things. One, this passage is a liar.
Right.
I don't believe it is. Number two, it wasn't meant for you. Yeah. Come on. If it was meant for you and you did it, then this verse is a liar. Amen? Which would in turn make God a liar. And God's not a man that he should lie. So then I have to believe that this is not written to us. Well, look, if you will, in 2 Corinthians 12. Who's got a question?
Why does he repeat that in 14?
He's trying to reiterate it, isn't he?
He says the same thing again.
I know. Isn't that good? No, I'm coming back. Now, anything you ask in my name, that will I do. Do you have any problems understanding that? William? Any problem?
No problem.
Wayno?
No problem.
Mary? No. Larry?
Nope.
Anybody?
How soon?
You understand, if you ask it in the Lord's name.
Right.
Now, if I believe that the whole Bible is written to me, if I took that assumption, and I read that verse, and I asked something in the Lord's name and he didn't do it, what would you do?
God's a liar.
And you lose faith. But faith is supposed to come to God and to destroy your faith. You don't rightly divide. Knowing that this was given to the Jews during a time when they had an unction. And they really wouldn't ever pray out. He said, take no thought in Matthew chapter 10 what you shall speak. It will be given to you to the same hour.
Right.
Now, I'm just telling you. But you know what, Paul? Paul obviously was either not saved, different dispensation. Something's up. Why? Watch this. Are y'all in 2 Corinthians 12? Verse 8. This thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. How many times did he seek the Lord?
Three times.
Did the Lord answer him?
Yeah.
Finally. No.
No, he didn't answer his prayer.
Well, yes.
He answered him finally.
Boy, there's mumbling in this thing.
He didn't answer the prayer, but he did give him an answer.
Is that what you were saying, William?
Yeah.
Well, you sure were making it complicated, brother. You know, I mean, here he's seeking the Lord. He said, whatever you ask in my name,
I will do.
Well, how come Paul goes to the Lord, been on missionary's journey, beat for the Lord, done that. He goes to the Lord three times and the Lord just buttons it up. What's up with that? You're not going to talk to him, Lord? What do you think about that? That's crazy as all get out. The biggest missionary dude in the Bible wrote half the New Testament, finally gets to ask the Lord something. He has to ask him three times and the Lord just keeps quiet on him. When he told Peter and all those, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And you know what he tells Paul? He didn't say, I'd do it. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Huh? That didn't sound like John 14, verse 12 and 14. Amen? So you know what I would write there? John 12. Or John 14, 12 through 14 in my Bible. Why? Because that verse didn't work for Paul. Amen? Thank God for a different dispensation. Amen?
Amen?
That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with different dispensations. One to the Gentiles, one to the Jews. It is really that simple. What do you think is written to the Jews? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because, hey, I prayed and the Lord didn't answer my prayer. How about y'all? I feel more like Paul. Lord, I've got this problem. Lord, are you listening? You ever feel that way? That's Pauline doctrine. It's called hang on by your toenails. And no matter what happens in your life, you know what? My grace is sufficient for you. It's already been worked out. You needed this Romans 8:28 in your life. Think about what we're talking about.
You never told the Jews and when they're in the desert, my grace is sufficient, don't worry about it. I'll take care of you.
That's right.
Contrast that.
Yeah, that's you see, guys, listen. The Jews are God's chosen people. And Max said it really good. It was the Gentiles that had all those things that they were going to be fed to the Jews. God was going to take care of the Jews. You know what God never said He'd take care of? He never said He'd take care of you. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, that's amazing, isn't it? Rightly dividing has to do more with understanding the doctrine of the Word of God rightly divided. Why? Because not all the Bible is written for you to do. All of it is written for you to learn from. Are you to study Genesis?
Yes.
Are you to study Leviticus?
Yes.
Yeah. Nehemiah?
Yes.
Yeah, you study all that. But what is written to you is Romans through Philemon. And when you start to say, okay, what doctrine is, and someone says, well, I believe you ought to sell out. You know what you can say? Well, that's great for a Jew, but let me show you what's for a Gentile. You know, you're supposed to not be working. Well, let me show you what the Gentiles were told to do. Why? Those doctrines are, listen, either they're diametrically opposed and it shouldn't be in the Bible, or you have to rightly divide it and understand it. You know what? I've been testing it for 25 years, and I believe it has to do with that separation and thing that's involved there. Very, very important.